I call this meeting to order. Let the record reflect that it is Tuesday, April 2nd at 1:56 p.m. We are starting a new meeting. Representative Josephson is with us, Representative Hannon, Representative Galvin, Representative Stapp, Representative Plum, Representative Ortiz, Representative Kronk, Representative Tomaszewski, Representative Foster. And our LIO moderator today is Emily Mesh, and our committee secretary is Bree Wiley. This afternoon, we continue with amendments to the operating mental health budgets. At this time, I would like to take up the amendments that we rolled yesterday. And first off, we have amendment number 22. Representative Ortiz, do we have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I move amendment number 22.
We do have an objection. Would you like to tell us about your amendment, Representative Ortiz?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Amendment number 22 addresses one of our main pillars in our Alaskan economy. Currently, the seafood industry employs 48,000 people. It annually brings in $1.8 billion in labor income. 17,000 Alaskans from more than 140 communities are employed in the seafood industry, with a $6 billion total economic impact to Alaskans annually. Currently, different from previous years, well, at least the final budget forms in previous years, currently there's nothing in the operating or capital budgets by means of general fund support for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. In the previous years, there has been. So this ASME amendment is in support of the industry overall. It calls for a $10 million spend of UGF to support marketing of Alaskan seafood products. According to a recent study, 54% of consumers are eating more seafood compared to 2 years ago. And seeing the Alaska seafood label makes 82% of consumers more likely to purchase Alaskan seafood. This is an example, concrete example, of where we're getting return on our investment towards ASME. ASME has worked hard over the years to build that Alaskan seafood brand, not only nationally, but internationally as well, protects more internationally than nationally. However, with the recent closure of the loophole that allowed Russian seafood to come to America by means of China, there's a stockpile of Russian fish on the shelves, but there's a great opportunity here to fill that future demand. Other countries with seafood industries like Norway, Chile, see this opportunity too and have upped their marketing in our own country. We just have to continue to compete and provide the resources to ASME to compete against what will soon be much greater foreign competition for the U.S. market. So after speaking with the ASME director, he says that that's really the direction that they're going to go. Now with the recent international developments, with our inability in the future to get as much seafood into China as we've had in the past, we're going to be looking to develop the U.S. market more fully in a time when it's going to be more competitive from other nations competing in that market as well. So this particular amendment is an amendment in support of our economy. It's in support of one of our main pillars of the economy, and it's towards an organization that has shown time and time again that they get a return on the investment, that they've done a good job of building that brand across the world, and now it's going to be more of a focus on trying to establish that brand even more solidly within the United States. And I think this particular amendment has great merit. It's an amendment that, again, is in support of our economy. It's in support of our fishing industry. Our fishing industry is the largest private employer in the state of Alaska. They've had a recent tough year this last year with the actions taking place by the country of Russia. This would not only be in support of marketing, but it would be in support of the fishermen themselves, giving them more opportunity to market the product that they're catching. So I ask for your support.
All right. Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Anyone else would like to speak to amendment number 22? briefities. We have had our introduction of Amendment Number 22 by Representative Ortiz and moved. There was an objection. And do we have Representative Tomaszewski is up? Is there comments, Representative Tomaszewski?
Yes, thank you, Co-Chair Johnson. Through the chair. So this is a services line to the support. To support Alaska Seafood Marketing, and they happened to give me a brochure in my mailbox, which was really good. And I was amazed to find out that there was 2.7 billion pounds of Alaska pollock harvested in 2022. That just seems like a really large number. Do you know? What the total export volume, the total export value in billions of dollars is from the state of Alaska?
I couldn't give you that. I would imagine it would be in that handout that's right before you.
It is three billion.
Okay. Thank
you. It's a lot of fish.
Yeah. It's good. Help feed the world.
Representative Stout, followed by Representative Cohen.
So, $10 million, what does that do to ASME's efficacy? I am not sure. Their current budget's around $22 million on average per year. This would be literally a 50% increase in the available amount of money. I went through and I looked at some of the graphs on OMB as far as visibility, product line, different types of placement, and marketing campaigns. So according to the OMB website, most of their marketing initiative have increased their visibility when we've spent more money on outreach. It doesn't seem like it's increased actual sales of Alaska seafood products. I don't think ASME has ever come to House Finance to give a presentation since I've been on the committee, so I think it would be great to hear from them so we can have those conversations in depth. I don't think I'm going to support the amendment, mainly because my understanding of the seafood issue is really just product dumping, right? So Alaska seafood sales are decreasing not because of market visibility, but because Russia has flooded our market with cheap seafood, and consumers buy goods that are cheap, right? So I'm hoping that the Fed's taking action against that, let's call it dumping behavior, will kind of reverse the market trends. But I don't know if I'm just not sold on the value of the $10 million currently. So that's why.
All right. Representative Clum.
I was wondering if Mr. Painter could come up and answer a question.
Well, certainly. Representative Klum would like to have Mr. Painter come to talk fish before us. Yeah.
Thank you for coming up. So I was hoping that maybe you could just clarify. I thought there was funds in the budget. If you can give me, can you tell me what happened last year and what's happening this year as far as there any funding for them? In the budget, operating, or capital?
For the record, Alexi Painter, Legislative Finance Division. If I could have a brief of these so I can just get the number back. Okay.
we have an answer.
Thank you. For the record, Alexi Painter, Legislative Finance Division. Through the chair, Representative Coulombe, there's approximately $16 million of statutory designated program receipt authority. That's from the assessment that seafood harvesters pay. And then last year, there was an additional $5 million of UGF support. That was an OTI, a one-time item, so that's not in this year's budget.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Representative Stout.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. So I have a question for Director Painter. What's the variability in those designated receipts? I mean, is that depending on the price per pound of the seafood that's caught in a tax, or how does that actually work?
Through the chair, Representative Stout, I believe it is an assessment on value. They do have a carry-forward revenue that they can use to smooth that volatility somewhat. I think as of beginning of FY24, they had about $10 million to carry forward that they can use to smooth that volatility. But again, they can only spend that SCPR up to their authority. So they wouldn't be able to spend more than the $16 million. But if they have a downturn in receipts, they can potentially draw on their carry forward, but temporarily, if that's a longer downturn.
So thought, Madam Co-Chair.
Follow it.
So if I understand what you said correctly, they basically have $10 million cash on hand, but they're blocked because of their receipt authority doesn't allow them to dip into that money unless they go below their $16 million in authority, and therefore they can use their cash balance to kind of smooth out the peaks. Is that my understanding?
Through the chair, yes. So they can use it to fill a gap if their receipts fall short, but they can't overspend their authority.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Representative Hannon, did you have a question? Do we want to keep we're going to make you a representative before you get out here. We do have a question for you.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. Mr. Painter, how often have we given ASME GF subsidies and supports, if you've looked back at a few years?
Through the chair, Representative Hannon, can't say the number of times, but we gave them some federal flexible coronavirus funds and then some UGF. And they had a more stable UGF subsidy prior to budget reductions, 8 years ago or so, and then that went away as we cut a lot of UGF. So over the past few years, I think it's at least two or three times if you count the federal flexible funds we gave them 1 year. But I don't want to commit exactly how many.
All right, very good.
And may I ask one question?
Yes, Representative Ortiz.
Mr. Painter, I think I heard you correctly in saying that the majority of the funding, the vast majority of the funding that ASME gets is from the industry itself, correct? In other words, through their assessment of their own self-assessment.
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, yes, that's correct.
All right. Representative Edmund, yep.
Just to speak in favor of the amendments, the tally come up a little bit short, I'm definitely going to continue advocating for, an amendment similar to this throughout the process. So we're very clear about that. I represent a district that is very commercial fisheries oriented, and, those billions of pounds that were just being talked about during an at ease, a lot of that's in the whitefish industry, pollock and other sort of groundfish species, but certainly a lot of it is redfish, salmon, and a number of other species that really are the backbone of the coastal economy. But if you think about this $10 million, what it actually purchases, it purchases keeping the Alaska brand alive on an international stage. Representative Hannon, I think, can speak much more to this than I, because she has first-hand experience. But at the last ASME trade show, I think it was in Barcelona. Did I get that right?
Southern Spain,
some quaint little town. But ASME, this sort of the sole umbrella marketer for Alaskan seafood, their display spot, the case was pretty small in comparison to all these other countries that put a lot of money, like Norway and Chile and farm salmon producers and what have you. But for every dollar that goes into market Alaska salmon, it's a dollar that goes into also market the transportation sector, that's very important to here in Alaska, whether it's maritime-based or aviation or even trucking. The supply chain sort of beneficiaries of the seafood industry is beyond, you know, the mere sort of multiplier effect of other industries. So I think this is a very reasonable investment. And, in terms of being able to quantify it in an ROI, return on investment type of a scenario, I'll leave that to ASME to come forth and delineate. But I think that I'll just stop there. I think it's a good amendment, and I hope we get the support for it. Thanks.
Representative Galvin.
Thank you. I have a question for Mr. Painter, and then I have one comment. The question is related to tax revenue that we get from fishing. Do you have a sense of what that it has been, and is there some consistency there?
Through the chair, Representative Galvin, I don't recall the numbers offhand of the recent revenue, although as the economist who did this 10 years ago, I don't remember the numbers now. It has dipped in the last few years. The revenue sources book has an assumption that we'll have a three-year recovery in salmon or in seafood tax revenue, but it has dipped substantially in the last couple of years.
And real quickly, Madam Chair, if I might add, some of the tax revenue is shared back with the communities, so I'm not sure the revenues sources book really touches upon that, but there's a significant amount that goes to Kodiak in Alaska, Sand Point, Dillingham, Naknek, the Bristol Bay Borough, Petersburg, all throughout the coast.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that clarity. And my comment is that I know that the state where we have revenue coming in, whether it's tourism, oil and gas, mining, et cetera, the state has found ways to help boost that revenue. And I know that this current crisis with not just Russia and the shenanigans going on there, but also the movement of the fish. I mean, there's had to be a lot of adjustments. We've had the commercial fisheries who are I guess what comes to mind is the many corporations like Peter Pan and others who have adjusted what they're doing. And I think as much as we can, if this is correct, that wild is preferred 4-1, if we can get ourselves out there more, it may help balance so that we can get more of the tax revenue. And so with that in mind, I will be very supportive of this amendment because I think the ROI is there, and I think that we need to help our fishing communities. Thank you.
Anyone else? Wait just a moment here. I think we're finished up there. Representative Painter, I'm going to just rename you there. Okay. Representative Hannon, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. I'm going to speak in favor of the amendment. It should surprise no one. When we talk about it, fisheries is an industry that is a taxpayer in Alaska. Virtually all fishermen are paying a tax. If you're a corporation like Peter Pan or Icicle, you're paying that corporate tax, but we have fish taxes that fishermen are paying that is shared with their communities. So in addition to being the largest private sector employer in the state, they have a reach through our economy and a ripple effect. The bulk of ASME's budget has always been a self-assessment tax on the price of delivered fish at first delivery. And the reason that their price is going to go down is because of the marketing, or the price collapse, some of it having to do with foreign, but I think early on, Representative Kronk mentioned earlier in a hearing of why did it go down if we had this really high volume, because it's the price value at delivery. Some could argue that ASME has been the biggest marketer of Alaska for the last 40 years. Long before we were helping our tourism industry, ASME was out there, when you're selling a fish brand, you're not just selling that salmon tastes good, you're selling that clean ecosystem and the pictures of the mountains and come to Alaska and fish for yourself. Kind of one of the jokes is one of their best-selling placement of TV ads is all those reality Alaska shows. You can put an ASME marketing ad on one of those shows when the Alaska Troopers is running and know that everyone there is already akin to that label. So it helps Alaska in a variety of ways in the economy. And what we know economically is they're going to be really hard-pressed because of the price collapses from international marketing and the price collapse over the next 3 years dealing with inventory. And the communities that will suffer will be the smallest, because that's where in an economic retrenching happens. You're going to shut down your most remote plants. Fewer places are going to get fish deliveries. So now you're going to concentrate them in the bigger communities. To keep all our marketing going, so at the other side of a price recovery, all of our communities can still be in the fish biz, we should be supporting ASME. It has a long-term effect for all of Alaska in a variety of communities, and I think it's a real important investment to make. They don't come before us annually for UGF because they don't always need it, but they need some now, and I hope we can support them.
Anyone else? Representative Ortiz.
Just a quick brief at ease. Thank you.
Briefings. Wait.
Oh,
see what I have on the fire escape. At ease. Finance back on the record. All right. I believe that we were with, perhaps with Representative Ortiz in wrap up, unless there's something else that I'm not aware of. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Yes, in wrap up, in terms of the effectiveness of this type of an investment, I think it's quite clear, the record's clear, you wouldn't have the support from industry itself for ASME unless they thought that their money was a good investment. They are the main supporters. The industry is the main supporters of ASME. They have the most skin in the game. We're in a tough situation right now due to the turn in world events, particularly with the situation in Russia. And they're looking to fund their war against Ukraine by flooding the market with pink salmon. Last year, we saw the impact of that in the last season. The season started really good. Numbers were strong. Fish catch was high. But then prices just plummeted. We're in a tough situation, folks. And the fishing industry is the largest private employer in the state of Alaska. And when people question subsidizing industry, and we look at the oil industry, for example, there's a lot of subsidy that goes on there. It seems to me that this body would be very much interested for the economic well-being of the state of Alaska to be supportive of the largest employer, private employer, in the state of Alaska. This is money well spent. It's a different situation going into this next year. We're looking to develop again our local American market in a very competitive, potentially competitive market. So a vote in support of this is a vote in support of our fishermen, our processors, the industry overall. It just makes good economic sense, and I ask your support.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Representative Kronk, is your objection maintained?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Representative Tomaszewski.
No.
Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Stapp.
No.
Representative Galvin. Representative Cologne.
No.
Representative Kronk.
No.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Johnson.
No.
5 yay, 6 nay.
By a vote of 5 yays and 6 nays, amendment number 22 has not been adopted. Next, we will take up amendment number 24 by Representative Ortiz. May I have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move amendment number 24.
There has been an objection. Representative Ortiz, would you like to tell us about your amendment?
You betcha. Thank you. Amendment number 24 addresses another key component of our state's economy. It's a $7.5 million increment to the Alaska Tourism Marketing Institute. Historically, the state has been supportive of that pillar of our economy as well. Currently, the ATIA has a grant of $2.5 million in the capital budget. This particular amendment will complement what's there to grant them the full $10 million they have been advocating for. In reality, they need at least $15 million to stay competitive in the world market with the top 10 destinations globally. In 2022, tourism generated $5.6 billion in economic output that year, including $3.9 billion in direct spending and $157 million in state revenues. And that was a year the industry was in recovery. It's an industry that affects everyone, every corner of our state, and supports many small businesses and provides countless private industry jobs. Supporting the ATIA, the official destination marketing organization with the state of Alaska, makes economic sense when you consider the return on investment we get. Again, for many of the same reasons why I put forward the previous amendment, I'm putting forward this amendment. It's to support a main cog in our economy. It's a cog that many people across the state benefit from. It's just a sound, wise investment, and I ask your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Do we have further comments?
Yes.
Representative Josephson.
I support this amendment wholeheartedly. A couple things come to mind. The first is that we used to have in DCCED a separate tourism division. There was also, when I was here decades ago as a staffer, I think Representative Edgman was here, there was a special committee on tourism, just on tourism. And the other thing I want to leave with you is I remember the number 19, and I think it's because the high water mark in state investment was around $19 million. It's amazing what stays with you, but I think I'm right about that. So we've slid back a long way, and this is roughly in the range of what the governor It's not terribly far above what the governor authorized. It really should be more. And so I support the amendment.
Representative Galvin.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. For similar reasons that I supported the previous amendment, I support this one. I again want to reiterate that the state of Alaska has in the past and will continue in the future to make investments where we know we will see the multiplier effect. In other words, we'll see all of the smaller communities gaining when these segments of our economy are doing well, whether it's oil and gas, whether it's fisheries, whether it's tourism, mining. And in the case of tourism, which we're discussing right now, we know that the number of tourists coming to Alaska is now at around 1.3 million. A really big number. It's a great number per year, and it's growing, and it could continue to grow if we can keep the important advertising up. It will benefit, in particular, our independent travelers that tend to keep Alaska on the list, but they need a little reminder. And we have, of course, the most beautiful opportunities for anyone looking for cultural tourism, or maybe folks just want to come up on a cruise ship, but our hotel industry, the Airbnb industry, the trains, and the trails, all of them benefit from more travelers, and we see then more revenue. Again, the multiplier effect from our restaurants to each of these industries, which just is hugely affected by how much we advertise. It does matter. I was able to see an incredible presentation by ATIA at the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, and the numbers are indisputable. So I do believe that this is a great investment, and I hope that we don't, you know, cut off our nose to spite our face. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Galvin. Anyone else? Representative Tomaszewski.
Thank you, Co-Chair Johnson. Through the chair, I just wanted to declare a conflict of interest. I manufacture products that may or may not benefit from this.
Objection.
State-subsidized marketing.
Thank you. Representative Edmund.
Yeah, probably.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I'm going to support this amendment just as I did the ASME amendment before basically the same reasons. I view these almost, in some sense, from a budget perspective, as sister sort of entities. They are in many ways intertwined and in a number of ways overlap. But the benefit to the tourism industry in Alaska is just indisputable, and it's not a benefit just constrained anymore to, you know, the summer and perhaps shoulder seasons. It's a year-round industry that brings in benefits that you can quantify for sure, but also brings in a lot of other benefits that you cannot quantify vis-a-vis sort of spillover effects. So I'm going to support this and would close by saying that if the vote, again, comes up just a tad short like it did for the ASME amendments, I am going to continue supporting it elsewhere throughout the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Edgman. Representative Galvin.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I need to declare that I have a, I'd like to be recused from voting. I have, I forgot that I do have an Airbnb, so I might benefit from this.
Been an objection, you'll be required to vote. Anyone else that would like to speak to the amendment number 23? Seeing no one else, Representative Josephson, would you like to give us a excuse me, why am I wrong? I'm off by one. We are on amendment number 24, and I believe we are ready for a wrap-up, Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. This process that we're going through, there's no doubt, everyone is a trade-off situation. We either have put money here or we put money there because we don't have enough money to put it in everywhere that we'd like to put it. Does this, if we would adopt this amendment, does this mean there's $7.5 million that we're not going to have to spend elsewhere? Absolutely. So the question is this a wise investment? Is it a good investment? Is it an investment that's going to bring about returns? And then is it going to bring about more returns potentially compared to other investments? Whether it's keeping the money in the PFD, whether it's putting the money somewhere else. You have to ask yourself honestly, you know, where can we get the best return on our investment for the overall good of the state's economy and for the people who work in that economy? And I think this is one of those amendments where it's pretty clear the benefits outweigh the opportunity costs. And I ask your support. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Representative Pronk maintains his objection. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Representative Hannon. Representative Colomb.
No.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Stapp.
No.
Representative Tomaszewski.
No.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Kronk.
No.
Representative Galvin.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
No.
5 yea, 6 nay.
By a vote of 5 yeas and 6 nays, amendment number 24 has not been adopted.
Madam Chair.
Up next we have Representative Ortiz. Well, okay, Representative Josephson.
In the interest of doing some mop up to get us all the way back to 71 without skipping over anything, I would like to move amendment 23. I can present this amendment in 20 seconds.
All right, Representative Josephson, in interest of keeping Representative Ortiz's amendments together so I don't miss one, I would like not to be interrupted in the flow of amendments, but I'm but in the interest of allowing Representative Josephson to have his moment, I will make sure that you get to go ahead and move amendment number 23.
It's like you knew me when I was a kid. I had to have my moment. I move amendment 23.
Object.
All right, we have an objection. If you would tell us.
15 seconds. The governor, not that we work for him, but the governor tolerated and vetoed down a $5 million appropriation to $2.5 million. So there's some evidence that the governor will tolerate a $2.5 million state investment. I ask for your support It would be nice to talk to tourism officials, people like John Binkley and others, and say, we, the state, still have the skin in the game. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Josephson. Representative Tomaszewski.
Other conflict of interest, same reason.
Same conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm. There's an objection. You'll be required to vote, both members, Representative Staff.
Question?
Yes.
Call a question, Madam Chair.
Oh, calling the question. All right. Very good. Motion has been made to call the question. Is there any objection to calling the question? Seeing none, Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll on Amendment Number 23?
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Stapp.
No.
Representative Tomaszewski.
No.
Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Kronk.
No.
Representative Galvin.
Yes.
Representative Colomb.
No.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Johnson.
No.
5 yea, 6 nay.
By a vote of 5 yeas and 6 nays, Amendment Number 23 has not been adopted. And up next, we have Representative Ortiz, Amendment Number 26. May I have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I move Amendment Number 26. Okay, Amendment Number 26 addresses a system called the Inner Island Ferry Authority. It's a ferry system privately run with some state support. This $250,000 speaks to that portion of state support. It serves Prince of Wales Island, and it runs regularly between Ketchikan and Prince of Wales Island. On Prince of Wales, you have a number of small communities, at least 6 or 7, so their overall population is fairly significant. So that's why the Inner Island Ferry Authority is pretty much a self-pay, pay-as-you-go service. However, this amendment calls for what has been there previously within the governor's budgets, including the current governor until just this past year, where the $250,000 represents a small support so that they can continue to operate, continue to provide service, and do it in a pretty darn cost-efficient way. Like I say, they do a pretty darn good job of paying their own way, coming up just a little bit short, but very, very close through fare box recovery to having a self-supportive system. And this $250,000 is just replacing what had been there previously, not there in this current governor's budget, and they do need the money to be able to make ends meet. With that, I ask your support.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Anyone else who would like to comment? All right. So you have a wrap-up? All right, Representative Kronk, you maintain your objection. All right, Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Stapp.
No.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Colomb.
No.
Representative Kronk. Representative Galvin.
Yes.
Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Tomaszewski.
No.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Johnson.
No.
4 yea, 7 nay.
By a vote of 4 yeas and 7 nays, Amendment Number 26 has not been adopted. Next up, we have Amendment Number 30.
Briefities.
Finance back on the record. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I move amendment number 30.
Motion made. There's an objection. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Ben, I think you guys don't like this one. This is a decrement. This is a decrement of $5 million. It was a it's a decrement to the Alaska Reading Academy, and it had been taken out in the subcommittee of DEED, I believe it is, and then with the CS, it was put back in. But what this amendment does is it says, you know, is this $5 million a good return on investment? And evidently, the subcommittee thought it wasn't, and took it out, and it's reappeared. But I'm asking us to consider the question again. The Alaska Reading Institute used the $5 million to lease a space and renovate $1.4 million in renovations. They hired four positions, a teacher for $100,000, $800. That's a pretty good teacher salary, and purchased and distributed materials that could be accomplished by DEED, and they did manage to provide some support in CHEVAC, but for the $5 million, the legislature should expect more. The Alaska Reading Institute is not mentioned in the READS Act. There's no study recommending it and no business plan for what it will produce. Frankly, there's not a lot of accountability there. $5 million is a significant amount of money that could be used by this committee or as we go down the process for other things, or it could just be used for savings, putting it back to, you know, the general fund for more usable headroom there. Again, it's a decrement. When we talk about, you know, what's going to help our kids read, I'm not so sure that an academy stationed in Anchorage is going to push the envelope that much in relationship to helping our kids read on a statewide basis. I'm asking your support for this decrement to the budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Representative Edgman.
When this request first came before the committee last year, I honest to God thought it was $5 million for the READS Act. I remember the then acting commissioner sitting at the table. I queried her, I think, three, four different questions. Come to find out, it's $5 million to pay for a facility in Anchorage that, as best I can tell, is largely unused. I don't know what the plan is for it. In terms of its relationship to the READS Act, you know, the READS Act is very prescriptive statutory language that requires all those students between what kindergarten to third grade do screenings, reading improvement plans if they're deficient, requires interactive consultations with reading specialists, both accredited and paraprofessional. It also requires a number of visits with parents and principals and just a whole bunch of work that has to be done in-house in order to make it work. And I guess the Alyeska Reading Academy is set up so you can actually do more than just online activities, because that's what it did last year. Zoom calls, online professional development, reaching out into Kalskag and other communities that are familiar to people around the table. But I don't know what the plan is for it. And talk about needing an audit of $7.5 million for childcare. We should have an audit of this place. It's only been around for 1 year, about to embark on a second year. But I don't see how this takes the READS Act and brings it into small remote schools. It simply doesn't. You need to have teachers in those classrooms. You need to have reading specialists. You need to get those poor, overworked K through three teachers additional help, because they're teaching all day, and then they have to do reading improvement plans and do all of the requirements of the READS Act. I don't know where this really plays a role. I guess maybe down the road to help teach. I mean, is the Alyeska Reading Academy a recognition that we're going to continue to have great turnover in our teaching ranks, so we need a place in Anchorage to have all these teachers that come and go be constantly certified through the READS Act program? You know, I I'm still reeling from what I felt was a fairly disingenuous presentation to this committee last year. And I went back and looked at it and read the transcript. There was no way that we were ever led to believe it was a bricks and mortar facility. Never. Not in front of this committee, anyhow. Maybe in other committees. And I still feel duped. I really do.
Representative Galvin.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Firstly, I want to concur with what I'm hearing from Representative Edgman around the understanding that the REEDS Act has very prescriptive guidelines. I've been looking at that a lot this year, trying to come up with what are we doing to make sure that our schools can follow through with what is there already as it is. And it turns out it's quite difficult for families to reach out to children who are not successful in reading 3 times a year, especially given the size of our classes. So it's asking a lot of our teachers right now to follow through with what we're doing. We know that teachers in many cases may benefit from learning, I think they're calling it the science of teaching reading, and I understand that very much, but with what we have right now presently, we are unable to meet the goals of the REEDS Act because we have not funded it. I know that we added an additional $30 through the formula per student, but it wasn't enough. And so with that in mind, I had been doing a lot of work to figure out what class size would be adequate when we are trying to teach reading skills. And it turns out what we have is woefully inadequate. Our class sizes should be reduced in some cases by a half. We have kindergarten classes at 28. And that is our problem. For us to be, you know, zeroing in on this or that or the other thing that's completely unrelated to what is the bottom issue of how we're going to get to the REEDS Act goals is tricky. So this amendment in particular triggers me because I am very concerned about the overall issue that we're not doing what we need to do to meet the act, to meet the goal of the governor's Alaska REEDS Act. And so with that in mind, I will support this amendment because I think there's a lot of other ways we should be spending our money that are very basic that supports public education K-12. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Representative Stapp.
Madam Chair, so I'm not quite sure how I'm going to vote on this amendment. A lot of interesting things are said. As far as what the amendment actually does to the maker, it's actually 7 permanent positions, 2 permanent part-time positions, and 3 temporary positions. As far as the funding of the teacher, I'm not quite sure on the salary, maybe $100,000 salary and benefits, and that would probably be more in line. But I'm not super sure what the Reading Academy is, but I can say what they say deed says it does. So it says it's located in Anchorage, as the members say, and basically it provides tutor and support services for children who are struggling reading to help them get phonic awareness, high phonics skills, fluent reading skills, expand their vocabulary, comprehensive skills in reading, oral language development. There's lots of interesting things on their website. There's tutoring flyers and tutoring applications for kids in Anchorage to learn how to read. But, if my folks in Anchorage want to cut the Reading Academy to tutor their kids, more power to them. So that's all I have to say.
Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to support the amendment, and my concern goes back to where this came from and sort of mission creep. The Department of Education and Early Childhood has, not for decades, been a direct deliverer of services. Most of the people who work at the department aren't certified teachers. There's certainly a few. The commissioner's required to be. But they are there to assist school districts. In the aftermath of the REEDS Act passing, DEED stood up, in theory, got in, 7 new permanent positions, part-time positions, temporary positions, and decided that they would do tutoring. Now, under the glance of, okay, so department, 53 school districts across the state Should you now send your tutoring needs to the Reading Academy in Anchorage? Are you going to do this for everyone? Because there'd been a lot of discussion around the Reads Act of reading specialists, doing training of teachers so that you could disperse them to 53 school districts and into the right places. But individual tutoring of children isn't something that I think is really within the mission of our Department of Education. With the exception of Mount Edgecombe state-operated boarding school, that's the only direct service delivery of education to students that DEED has had for decades. Otherwise, they're there working to support teachers so that you've got a multiplier effect. So that's my concern. If this were a teacher training institute to develop reading specialists for Alaska, that's different than tutoring children in one school district that may or may not be even identified as the most at need. Lots of people hire tutors for their children to help them excel, not because they have deficits. So I can support the amendment, and I think that having DEED sort of expand in mission creep into what has been the jurisdiction of 53 independent school districts is a step that we should not take without having a longer-term plan of how long is it there, and when you take this over for schools, you'll do this in perpetuity, and to meet the capacity of demand, how big will it need to be?
All right. Thank you. Representative Josephson.
Yes. If there were time, and I would love to read it a second time, I would commend an article from Ira Samuels from a week ago today. It was a pretty devastating expose on the school. It tried to be balanced. I mean, I'm sure it was balanced, but the evidence wasn't helpful to the cause of the school. And it noted that $1.5 million, I think it said 1.4, somewhere in that range, was spent on refurbishing what looks like a mall behind the Village Inn, which is a restaurant near university. So we did that. One of the things I think that stuck with me about the article is that I think a lot of the districts thought people were coming to the districts, and what the article reported was that was rare. That wasn't really happening. There were a number of teaching sessions for hundreds of teachers, but I just don't know that this is the best way to get the results we want. And I'm remembering what Representative Edgman has said, that the point of the Alaska Reads Act was to have a team of people that would go to the rural districts, for example, and offer direct assistance. So I'm going to be supporting the amendment.
Representative Colom, followed by Representative Tomaszewski.
So I guess I should weigh in, since it was my subcommittee that initially took the funding away and gave it to Head Start. I don't know how I'm going to vote on this, because there were a lot of the issues in subcommittee were just expressed by this committee. There was an understanding that these reading specialists were going to be going out to the community, not that they would be flying in. There was a surprise that there was an aspect that they were actually teaching children in this building. They're actually adapting the building for children so they could come in and get tutored, which is a great thing. And to my colleague's comment about Anchorage, it is benefiting the Anchorage School District. They're using it. It's definitely helpful. Unfortunately, the Reads Act doesn't just apply to the Anchorage School District, and that's my concern. It's, you know, we have a lot of need out in the rural areas, and it is requiring them to fly in to Anchorage to get the training as opposed to them flying out. Now, when that was mentioned in subcommittee, the commissioner or somebody from DEED said that is the intention, is that they would be flying reading specialists out. It's not really happening a lot right now. So on the one hand, there has been some misinformation or, I don't know, people didn't understand, misunderstandings about what the goal of the Reading Institute is. But they also have a lease, and they've hired people, and they're in the works, and they're doing all the things that were mentioned. You know, they are tutoring. They are active. So it's a struggle for me because it's a good point that there isn't a mention into the Reading Academy. It's not what, or the Reads Act. I did not hear that last year either. But we have commit. They've made commitments, and a piece of me makes me want to say, well, why don't we give them one more year and revisit next year and see if it's actually fulfilling its function. So at this point, I'm not sure how I'm going to vote.
Anyone else that would like to speak to Amendment Number 30? Oh, Representative Tomczewski.
Thank you, Co-Chair Johnson, through the chair. So just a little quick research on DEED's website here that the Alyeska Reading Institute, the division within DEED specifically designed to support districts and provide services for successful implementation of Alaska Reads Act. So ARI's professional development is grounded in the science of reading and aligned with the Reads Act components. It's helping those who are implementing Reads across the state. I'm just assuming that this is what it was designed for. They have the expertise to collaborate with staff on Reads Act components and implementation. I mean, this is, to me, is the school districts now, I mean, with the reading being 49th in the nation, reading or math, respectively, we're really failing our students with reading. And this seems to be an attempt to help with the Reads Act. I know it was just implemented last year, and honestly, I haven't seen the results like have been discussed. But to see someone making a real effort to help kids to read, it just makes sense to me. This is another allocation to education in the state of Alaska. I mean, a lot of people talk about we haven't had a BSA increase in a long time, but there's a lot of other funding that goes into education that is outside of the BSA. And I think this was just one of them. And so to me, it seems like what they are trying to do is help school districts implement the Reads Act. And to me, that seems like a valiant thing to try to accomplish. So I'm going to be a no on stripping the funding from this program. So I'll be a no on the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Kronk.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Tough amendment because this is what the second year of this, so you're kind of like, where are we going with this? But if I'm looking at teachers in rural Alaska, I can honestly say this. I just had this conversation today. When I was teaching my first year, I was a kindergarten, first grade teacher. I didn't know how to teach kids how to read. They didn't teach me in college how to teach other kids how to read. So, and they still don't do that unless you're specifically a reading instructor. So if we're working towards having that resource available to all teachers, and specifically in rural Alaska, I'm probably going to lean more to oppose this amendment just to see, give it a little bit more of a chance to see if that's what they're actually trying to accomplish. You know, so I don't know if we've given it enough time. I understand some of the issues of like where we bamboozled, you know, with the whole purpose of it. But I also see the purpose of actually having an instant reading institute that teachers can call in or even maybe come in, or hopefully they send them out to rural Alaska, actually be part of that school. Are we giving them enough chance to actually accomplish what I would hope is the goal? And I guess that is hope because this, I'm not quite sure, but I know as a first year teacher, I had no idea what I was doing in teaching kindergarten and first grade, kids how to read. But I think the bottom line problem is for most of us that, you know, had our kids, we sat with them, we read books with them, and when they came to kindergarten, they were pretty prepared to learn and how to read. And we have that problem is what we're doing is we're having a lot of kids that are not prepared at all to read. And giving this the chance to hopefully do that, I'm probably going to err on the side of caution and give them that chance to do that. So, but I appreciate the amendment. Thank you.
Very good. Anyone else who would like to speak to this amendment? Seeing no one. Representative Kronk, is your objection maintained?
Yeah.
It is? Okay. Very good. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll on amendment number 30.
Just a brief.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrap up. Representative Mortensen. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Okay. Some of the comments that were just made, reasonable comments. However, let's look at the model. The member to my left said, if this institution is going to be there to support our district statewide, that's 54 districts across a large, large area, then that would be a good thing. But think about that. How in the heck is this small staff, which they're not fully staffed, they can't find tutors, they're not fully staffed at this point, even though they're well into a year into it. How are they going to push the ball? How are they going to move the ball in terms of increasing our kids' ability to read on a statewide basis? Not going to happen, folks. It's just not. It's the wrong model. It's centralized. It'll work with the people in Anchorage, but only some of them. Right now, I have this report that says they're serving 147 students. That's a pretty small number compared to the amount of students that need services statewide. Again, we're a committee that's supposed to look at return on investment. This is just a bad model. This is not going to work. It's not going to move the dial. It isn't. What we need are people out there, located in the areas, who have the trust of their families, who know the communities. We need people who stay there from year to year to build that trust. That's what we need when we talk about bringing about real reform in education. An organization located in Anchorage, not fully staffed. No, it's not going to happen. This reduction in the budget, which is what we're looking for, makes good sense. And I ask your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Your objection maintained. Yes. Thank you, Representative Kronk. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Representative Stapp.
Pass.
Representative Tomaszewski.
No.
Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Kronk.
No.
Representative Galvin.
Yes.
Representative Cologne.
Pass.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Stapp.
No.
Representative Cologne.
No.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Johnson.
No.
6 yay, 5 nay.
By a vote of 6 yays and 5 nays, amendment number 30 has not been adopted.
No,
I'm sorry.
Has been adopted.
Yes, indeed.
Not been adopted.
What?
I'm sorry. Didn't do that.
By a vote of 6 yeas and 5 nays, amendment number 30 has been adopted. So, but I want to let everyone know that we'll We'll probably, I'm going to go ahead and we have amendment number 39 and 40 next. I guess we can go ahead and try to get through those. I want to, let me just ask Representative Ortiz, how long do you think this is going to, do you think these are hefty amendments?
It didn't take a lot of time, Madam Co-Chair. However, I just need a quick brief of these before we start, but if we do these, but it'll be very quick. Very
okay.
Quick.
Well, what I would like to do is I would like to take a, and eat at ease. We'll probably take a break from for about an hour. So I think we can probably just go ahead and take a break right here, and you'll have your moment to take a look. So this is an at ease, about an hour long. We'll keep you posted on when we're coming back. At ease. House Finance, but back on the record, we have taken brief, long at ease, and we're back at amendment number 39, which was also rolled yesterday. Representative Ortiz, you have a motion.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I move amendment number 39.
Object.
We have an objection. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yes, I would. Amendment number 39 represents a small increment. It calls for a 10% of additional FY25 increase for cost of services due to inflation in the area of fish and game, and particularly management, and particularly assessment of stocks. And it's important because as we look at the industry and the challenges of the industry, one of the things I've heard over the years, I used to serve for 3 years as the finance co-chair of Fish and Game, is, you know, in order to provide maximum opportunity for our commercial fishermen, there needs to be thorough and adequate assessment of stocks. And when your resources to do those assessments include like flying over, using airplanes to fly over schools of fish, or dealing with weirs in rivers and things like that. That's how they determine escapement levels. That's how they determine how much fish is out there, which allows them to make decisions for the fishermen in order to whether or not they can go after more numbers of fish. But if they don't do the flies, if they don't service the weirs or can't continue to monitor the weirs, then they have to manage on a more conservative basis and not allow potential opportunities that might be there had the assessments been done. And again, the reason why they're not there in some cases is because due to inflation, we all know fuel costs go higher, other types of costs having to do with this kind of a management goes up. And so, therefore, Fish and Game is in situations where they like to do the assessment, but they don't have the resources to do that. Now, even though this calls for a 10% additional increase, it amounts to only $43,500. And it kind of goes in the spirit of what, you know, what the CS did in relationship to the budget that we are working with right now. In that budget, the Chiletna Weir had been not a part of Fish and Game operations. It was taken out, but then it was added back. And that Chiletna Weir is in the Central District, by the way. And it was added back because of the importance of the weir, evidently. And that was at a cost of $130,000 in order so that the Fish and Game can do the more accurate account on that particular river system. My amendment, in the same spirit, only costs $43,500. So I ask your support. Thank you.
Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. I'm going to speak in support of the amendment and point out the thing that I think is really critical that the sponsor left out. Although this appears in the commercial fisheries budget, the commercial fisheries assessment do all the assessment and stock analysis for all fisheries. So it lies in the Comfish budget, but their in-season management tells us whether there's a sport fishing or a subsistence fishing. So when Comfish doesn't have the money to do assessment, no fishing happens. It lies in their budget because each section doesn't do their own, but that in-season management is what Representative Ortiz is speaking to, and those in-season fish surveys, weir counts, determine how many days dip netting is open on the Kenai or on the Copper River. So it's important to make sure that our department has the resources to keep as many fisheries open, and that requires them to be able to do as much survey and analysis in season as possible. And that's why we should all be in support of it.
Representative Cronk.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Key word here is additional. I have this budget in my subcommittee, and Fish and Game has asked in every division for inflation-proofing their budget. So this money is not needed. They have plenty of money. They actually added for increased cost in pretty much every aspect of their budget. So this is an additional to what they've already asked. So this is money that isn't needed for them to do what they need to do. So I will oppose it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? And wrap up, Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. In response to the previous speaker, again, I point out that in the CS that we received, the Chulitna weir was added back at a cost of $130,000. I don't remember in this, was that specifically, if it was taken out by the department, did they specifically ask for it to be added back in? What the department asks for publicly and what they need sometimes are different things. And in my discussions with certain people in Comfish department, they flat out say, they've been hit hard by inflation, fuel costs have gone up, and there are certain assessments that haven't been done because the money isn't there. And so this, again, is in support of the overall industry. The central district will benefit from this, as well as all the districts. I think we all can be supportive of allowing our fishermen, first of all, allowing Fish and Game to have the resources that they need so that they can manage our fisheries under the Constitution to the maximum sustainable yield. That's what they're entrusted to do under the Constitution, to manage our resources, to manage our fisheries under the maximum sustainable yield. And this particular amendment, which again amounts to $43,500, is in the spirit of allowing Fish and Game to manage as they're supposed to under our Constitution for the benefit of our fishermen to the maximum sustainable yield. And I ask your support.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Do you maintain your objection?
Yes.
All right. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Representative Tomaszewski.
No.
Representative Cologne.
No.
Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Galvin.
Yes.
Representative Cronk.
No.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Stapp.
No.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Johnson.
No.
4 yea, 7 nay.
By a vote of 4 yeas and 7 nays, amendment number 39 has not been adopted. That brings us to amendment number 40.
Okay, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Amendment number 40 is the exact repeat as Amendment 39, except it reduces the increment to 5% at a cost of $21,800. For all the same reasons why the previous amendment was a good one, this is half as good, but nevertheless still a good one. I ask your support. Thank you.
Move it. Object.
Oh, I'm sorry. I move the amendment. Sorry, Madam.
Move the amendment. You moved Amendment 40, and Representative Staff has objected to Amendment 40.
Question?
Now we have a question from Representative
Staff. No, call the question.
Oh, call on the question. I think we did. Is the maker of the amendment have any problem with that? No objection? Is there any objection to calling the question? All right. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Representative Galvin.
Yes.
Representative Tomaszewski.
No.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Stapp.
No.
Representative Hannon. Representative Coulomb.
No.
Representative Kronk.
No.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Foster.
No.
Representative Johnson.
No.
4 yea, 7 nay.
By a vote of 4 yeas and 7 nays, Amendment number 40 has not been adopted. And I would next like to next would have Amendment 41, which was also rolled yesterday, but I understood the sponsor might be considered withdrawing that amendment, Representative Josephson. I'm not sure. Withdraw Amendment number 41. Okay. Next up, we have Amendments number 54 and 55, which were also rolled yesterday. Amendment number 54, Representative Ortiz.
Just a brief. Quick brief at ease, please.
Please. Finance back on the record. We are on amendment number 50, 54, Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I move Amendment 54.
If you have an objection, would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Amendment 54 calls for a $2 million increment to Alaska adult daycare operations. Alaska's 10 existing adult daycare grantees are struggling to provide services under inflation, increased needs, and challenging behaviors and workforce turnover. In addition to the need for meaningful financial support for existing grantees, many Alaskans are underserved or have no adult day or respite services available. Development and expansion of adult day services is needed across both urban and rural Alaska as population silvers or grays, as they say. Support of existing adult day grantees and expansion of development of adult day services in underserved areas is needed to provide respite or unpaid caregivers and financial stabilization for families while Alaska's population ages. Expenditure data from FY29 to FY23 reflects positive trends with the per hour cost decreasing from $40 to $18. The state of Alaska can build on its efficiency by allowing this funding, enabling adult day services grantees to serve more Alaskans, especially those who are not qualified for Medicaid. What is adult day? Adult day is respite service for adults experiencing impairments. Qualifying adults receive support in group-based facilities that provide respite for Alaskans providing unpaid care. Further information can be found. Okay. So that's it. Again, this is a question of priorities. Our population is graying. We have real needs out there to provide services to our elders and to other challenged adults. And we could not spend the money and spend it somewhere else. But the question is, do we value our seniors? Do we want our seniors to be able to live comfortably throughout their lives? Do we support those people who are probably at least some of the population, the founders of our state, et cetera? Do we want to do that or do we not want to do that? I think we do. I ask your support for the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Representative Galvin, followed by Representative Josephson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Very quickly, I rise in support of this amendment, understanding that our 75-plus, those Alaskans who are age 75-plus are growing by 5%. We also know that that's true for even those 65 and up. And for me personally, I have had experiences where I've been able to drop my elders, whether they were aunts, uncles, grandparents, even my mom. And even if it's an hour of bingo, I have to tell you, it gives the family such important breaks and also keeps these families able to take care of their elders so that they don't end up in institutions. And once again, the price of that is so high, and to the state, it's very high. So these sorts of, I think it's more than giving our elders a break, and families a break. It's giving them dignity, and I'm very supportive of these funds. And I think that given the increased age of Alaskans plus the increase of costs for everything, this is a reasonable investment to make. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Representative Galvin. Next up, we have Representative Josephson.
Well, I support this as well. We had a relatively narrow vote, I think it was 5-6, on an inflation adjustment of $998,000 desired by AgeNet and AARP. And this is not identical to that, but adult day services provide some of the same needs. And to the extent that I'm repeating some of the things Rep. Ortiz said, I apologize. But my notes from a meeting of March 11th with supporters of this amendment, and those supporters come from, well, it's essentially the Alzheimer's Association and related organizations, and I could probably do better than that. But meeting was on March 11th. They noted that day providers are seeking this $2 million. They currently have facilities in Fairbanks, Nome, and Ketchikan. The money would be housed with the Senior and Disability Services grants. They said the Fairbanks Resource Agency is short-staffed, facing challenges in budgeting, and needing money for adults experiencing impairments and family caregivers. Ketchikan Rendezvous Senior Center is struggling to attract and retain staff due to low wages. The Nome XYZ Senior Center seeks funding to promote or approve or provide, rather, dementia training, ensure meal programs are nutritious and despite inflation, and provide respite for more families. There are a total of 10 grantees. I think this is the program where they said they could open a couple new, yep, this is the program. Two new towns could open up. This is a follow-up meeting on March 13th. So I had two meetings with this group. They reported a 13% SDS, Senior Disability Services, increment went away. We could ask Mr. Painter about that. The top five reasons for this were the impact of inflation, increased need, changing workforce, operations being limited to care for families, and the need for more respite hours.
Thank you, Representative Josephson.
Well,
all right. I would like to, does anyone else have any? Could we get a wrap up there, Representative Ortiz, if you would?
Okay. One of the things that the prior speaker brought up, which I didn't in my initial presentation, was the focus on folks who suffer from Alzheimer's disease. The folks who qualify for adult services are for individuals of any age who have Alzheimer's disease or related dementia diagnosis. A person 60 years of age or older who experiences functional impairments, adults 18 years of age or older with similar disabilities and service needs to older Alaskans who are at risk of institutionalization. You know, I can speak personally. My family has been hit. My parents were hit by the impact of Alzheimer's. Believe me, it's not an easy situation. It wasn't one for my father trying to help my mother. And it's just tough. And anything we can do to support folks with this particular issue has got to be a priority for those of us at this table, I would think. I ask your support for this amendment.
Thank you very much. All right. We have an objection from Representative Staff. Do you maintain your objection, Representative Staff?
Yes.
Okay. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Colomb.
No.
Representative Ortiz.
Yes.
Representative Stapp.
No.
Representative Tomaszewski.
No.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
Representative Kronk.
Yes.
Representative Galvin.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Johnson.
No.
Six yay, five nay.
By a vote of six yays and five nays, amendment number 54 has been adopted. And I would like to take up amendment number 55, which is our last amendment that has been rolled. I believe it's the last amendment that we have that's been rolled.
And Madam Chair, I withdraw 55.
Okay. We have had amendment number 55 has been withdrawn. Right. With that, we are have made it up. We have caught up on our amendments that have been rolled. And we'll get us back on track in the right order, starting with amendment number 71. Our next meeting is tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And I'm going to say 10 a.m. sharp. when we will continue with amendments. With no further business before the committee, we are adjourned at 5 p.m.